This is Patsy with a Z. Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And I'm waiting for Dr. Dawn Filos, and we're going to be talking about her book, Tales of a Pet Vet. I'm so happy. Dr. Dawn Filos, are you there?
I am here. I am so happy to be chatting with you.
Thank you for joining me today. And the name of your book is Tales of a Pet Vet, Stories from the Clinic and House Calls. And I love this book, and I think most of my listeners have pets. Now, in my family, I haven't had a dog for a long time, but we did have my sister, who loves mystery stories. She has a bird. And so we like pets and love talking about this book because you have so much information in here. And there are many chapters I love, but what I didn't know is that there was also holistic kind of medicine or taking care of animals. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you became a vet.
I'm so glad you enjoyed the book. Yeah, in the beginning of the book and throughout my childhood, I talk about it. I was raised in a household of just animal lovers, animal fanatics, some might argue. And we always had dogs. My mother was allergic to cats, so sadly, we couldn't live with cats. But we even had a monkey. We had a minor bird. In retrospect, it was a bit of an eccentric childhood, but it worked for me, and it certainly set me off on my path of my career.
You had a monkey when you were a child?
Yeah, so we visited my grand. I'm sure in retrospect, he was surely smuggled into this pet store in Miami where my mother had gotten him. We were visiting my grandmother, and one of my favorite stories in the book is about we then flew him back to Newark Airport because we lived in New Jersey. And they announced his arrival on the luggage carousel, and it was this whole crazy day that will never leave my memory. And then I ended up bringing him I brought him into school because we had to share something interesting about yourself. And so everybody met him. Everybody knew us as the monkey family. And I write in the book, no one was surprised I became a veterinarian. They always remember Willie, our woolly monkey.
I think that's a great introduction. I remember I used to love the old Tarzan movies, and I always wanted a monkey.
Yeah. They're great. He was a little monkey. He didn't live very long, sadly. He had gotten pneumonia, and I talk about that in the book. But I know that there's a documentary series about people that have chimps, and certainly in this day and age, particularly these big monkeys, really don't make good pets. But he was about 12 pounds. He was like a little baby with his little diaper hole in the first tail, and he was amazing.
I see. It was your destiny to become a vet with that kind of a background.
I think so.
You went to school. You went to Rutgers, and of course, prepared yourself to become a vet. And those are it's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about that, because people don't understand. Sometimes they don't realize that what a vet has to go through. A lot of science classes. I've met people who say, I want to be a vet. And I said, you do understand there's a lot to this. And actually, operating and taking care of animals, I think, is so much more difficult than humans.
Yeah, I would have to agree for many reasons. And it's funny because my husband is a physician. I call him a human doctor. And he was in med school while I was working and supporting him at the time. And I'm like, I'm so jealous of you. You only have to learn one species. And here he was looking at blood slides. And I'm like, we've got chickens look different than dogs and cats. So there is that extra challenge. The additional challenge for me, and you talk about Rutgers, is that's early on in the book about I was a New Jersey resident. And at the time, there were about 23 vet schools in the country. So not every state had one. And So I didn't get in right away, and I persisted. And what they had an arrangement at the time, now you can apply really anywhere and maybe have a little bit of a better chance, but you're an out-of-state resident, and there are extra fees for that. What we had was a contract, the state of New Jersey, where there were, I did the math in the book, I think it was about 25. So 12 of us, I want to say, got into the University of Pennsylvania, which was where I went. They paid the out-of-state fee. So the neighboring states had this deal with the schools that were in states that had vet schools. 7 got into Cornell in New York, 4 into Ohio State, and 2 in Tuskegee. And that was basically it for New Jersey. It was a bit of an additional hurdle to overcome. So it took me a little longer than I would have liked, but it was all worth it.
And were there fewer female vet students?
Originally, it was all men, and it has gradually shifted. By the time I was in vet school, it was more men than women, and now it's about 70% or more women, or at least, that are in the classes. It has now become a majority women field, which is important, that is can pose its own issues and problems. But I did want to be in a field where I had the opportunity to be a mom, be part-time if needed, which is what I did for many years of my career. And then I started my practice. And so I did every incarnation of it. I considered briefly being a pediatrician. I'm challenged by patients who can't speak for themselves, is how I've decided is the way I work. But I really did go with my passion. And you talk about the science classes. I always described myself as a bit of a science dork. I was a biochemistry major undergrad. I really enjoyed all the science courses. I did a work towards a master's degree after undergrad because I had not gotten in. So I do think you need to have some comfort with science and math to get through the curriculum. And do I sit there and think that third level calculus helps me in my daily practice? Definitely not. But I got through it.
But still, I think that it's wonderful that they have now STEM classes where both boys and girls are learning more math and science, because it really gives you the foundation for what you're going to need to do when you get to vet school. It's not easy. Sometimes people say a vet school is easier than medical school, but actually, when I think about it, I cannot imagine working on so many different species, and some of them are so hairy, which would be really, like, I don't know how you do it. It's really so hard to diagnose some of these things. And then you have to deal with all sorts of scary things like rabies. And I think it's amazing the work that a vet does.
Yeah, thanks. It's definitely variety, as I say throughout the book. I didn't have a single boring day at work ever. You never know what you're going to be faced with. You never know. Well, he's just here for a nail trim, and you end up 4 hours later having taken x-rays and diagnosed something because some things are missed, because some of us get a little bit better at knowing what to look for physically. That might be a sign of a brewing problem or an underlying problem. So it is, I look at human doctors, MDs, and I think to myself, they're not even specialists, they're like micro specialists, like cardiologists, but they only work in electrocardiology, for example. And I think to myself, gosh, I'd be bored. I would be so bored certainly they're very good at what they are experts in, but I feel like the variety is what makes it interesting and more challenging.
It's more challenging because you're right. They're specializing in such little things now that I can't imagine 40 years working on the same, like somebody who does livers. And 40 years of working on livers would drive me crazy. It's nice to throw a monkey It's when we talk about throwing a monkey wrench in, throwing a monkey in will really, that'll make your day.
I know. And people keep asking me, how do you remember all these stories? I'm like, how can I forget these stories? Did you read the one about the snake with pneumonia? That one chapter that I call the exotics chapter, which is really species that are not the most common pets, like dogs and cats. And I personally find that the most interesting or was the most fun chapter to write and reread because of all the crazy things that happen. And it just, by default and necessity, you don't want to be a specialist in potbelly pigs, but here you go. It's your job. You're the breadwinner. You're going to have to see the snake or the potbelly pig. And so by default, you learn on your feet, and it's a good thing. And I had some beginner's luck in many of my cases, and it got me through. But it was, some days were like a roller coaster of, what do I do now? And you figure it out.
One of the things I found so funny was I did not know that sort of we have hazing. People always haze, like when you start a new job, they might haze you a little bit. But I never thought that for a vet, it would be being given the assignment to look for rabies. I mean, that's hazing at a new level.
That was the bottom rung of the totem pole. And in addition to that, you got all the worst shifts. You got all the holidays. You got call. It was just awful. And so it's one of many reasons why you didn't want to switch jobs, because then you got to start all over again and again. So eventually I decided I'm going to be my own boss, and I'm going to set my own hours, and I'm going to work in people's homes because it's my passion. And it all worked out for me. I love meeting people. I love hearing their stories. It was perfect for me. But you see these doctors that are, we joke that surgeons, they just want to stay in the back and not have to go out and greet the people. And certainly there are surgeons with wonderful outgoing personalities, but I think that they would cringe doing what I did. But for me, it was wonderful going into people's homes. I really enjoyed connecting with them. I really like knowing the whole patient. It goes back to what we were saying about specialties. You're not even looking at the entire animal or person, and you just miss so much. And it's so specialized that, heaven forbid, you find a physician who, for the most part, is looking at your entire person. And we get to do that as veterinarians. And I think we don't miss things because we're looking at the whole animal.
And it's exciting. I think every day it has a potential for being an exciting day in your life. Tell us, how many times have you been bitten? Now, you've been how many years have you been a vet?
32 years and counting. And gee, I've lost count. I could count on my fingers, but about three of those fingers are numb from cat bites. So I can count on them again and again. So probably, over 20. Well, but some bites.
What was the first one? Do you remember the first time you were bitten?
As a veterinarian, it was when I had started practicing. I actually went on my honeymoon before my wedding day because my boss did not allow me to take off in the busy summer. So it was the Friday before my Sunday wedding, and I got bit, and I had to go on antibiotics, and I had Band-Aids match my wedding dress. So that was the first time, and I got smarter and better at handling, but gosh, I think there's a story in the book about maybe 10 years later, I bent over a dog foolishly, which I won't do ever again, to listen to his heart, and he reached up and bit my eyebrow very Ooh. Close to my eye. So I no longer bend over dogs and a skull. So I certainly learned from my mistakes, and I've lived with animals my whole life, but you figure out a way to protect yourself as best you can. And I talk about that in the book, about this fear-free way of handling cats, for example. And I think going in gently, not alarming them, not being loud, not moving too quickly, and yet being quick, not delaying the exam with a stressed animal. If you less is sometimes more, with a careful way of protecting them and yourself, gently holding them, but effectively, or maybe wrapping them in a little cocoon in a blanket instead of putting a smelly muzzle over their mouth and then putting their mouth in the opposite direction. I've been very fortunate to work with really good nurse assistants who are really good at what they do and protecting me as well. Far less bites as I've gotten older and wiser.
The book is absolutely fascinating. I love this book. It's a great book for yourself and everybody. If you want to look for something unusual to give somebody as a gift, this is a wonderful book. Everybody will get a kick out of it. They'll learn a lot. You are just amazing. What's the most exotic animal that you've dealt with?
I think when people ask me that, one day when I was working, the animal control came in with a red-tailed hawk that had been injured, and they wanted us to determine if he had a fracture, if he had broken his bone. And I'm thinking, how do we do this safely without hurting him and hurting ourselves with these giant talons? And so we figured out how to do the settings for x-rays and gently but carefully reclined the bird and took the x-rays. But it was really so fascinating because they're lightweight and frail and yet super powerful. And I thought, oh boy, how are we going to do this? But that and the snake with pneumonia to me were just out of my comfort zone. But it was so interesting and it makes a good story. And I really enjoy learning new things. And that was certainly new for me and exciting.
Dr. Don Filos, the book is called Tales of a Pet Vet, Stories from the Clinic and House Calls. There are so many wonderful stories in this book. I could talk to you for hours about it. So I just want to, again, thank you for joining me today on Joy on Paper. Is there a website you want people to go to?
Yeah, so I do have my own website, drdonthepetvet.com, and it has links to, you basically can get the book, Tales of a Pet Vet, anywhere that books are sold. My website has supplemental information. But also, the book is available as an ebook, paperback, and an audiobook, which is really fun. I so enjoyed making that version of it. A great actress narrates it, and there's sound effects, and it's fun for those of your listeners who listen instead of read.
Okay. Again, Dr. Don, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. It's been a joy to talk to you.
It's been so lovely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. What a book.